would to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, as we continue studying the Bible, trying to learn how to be more faithful and more effective in reaching others with the gospel and making disciples. We're just trying to walk through different passages of Scripture to learn from commandment and example how to be better witnesses. Now, John chapter 4, we're going to begin reading at verse 1. And before we begin, let's pray together one more time. Lord, we're so thankful for this opportunity as we approach your word tonight. I pray your Holy Spirit would guide us and teach us your truth. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would convict our hearts so that we can be repentant of any unconfessed and unrepented sin in our hearts and, Lord, our lives. I pray that your Holy Spirit would not only convict us, but guide us into truth so that we can know and understand your word, so that we can know you better and know how to serve you more faithfully. Please help us by your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat or food. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now, there are a lot of great truths here to try to unpack, and I would encourage you to read and study this passage of Scripture on your own. For the sake of this study, we're trying to really focus in on the business of evangelism and how to be witnesses. But I do want to give you a little bit of background, at least if you don't know. Samaria was the northern part of Israel. This was this division between Samaria and Judah, the Samaritans in Israel. It really goes all the way back to when the kingdom was divided during after Solomon's reign. It goes back to the fact that they were carried away by Assyria. And when they came back after that captivity, there was, I don't know how to say it other than they mixed with other nations. And so this group of Israelites, you might some people might call them or insult them by calling them half-breeds. They were kind of half Jewish and half not Jewish, half Gentile. And so the Israelites, they considered themselves to be pure. They considered themselves to be God's people, and they considered the Samaritans to be half-breeds, to not be God's people anymore. They had their own place of worship at Mount Gerizim, and that's where they thought they were supposed to worship. And so there's a lot of division. It goes a long ways back, and so there was a lot of animosity between them. Now, maybe you can't understand that. Maybe that's beyond your understanding. But you may be shocked to know that sometimes people don't like other groups of people because they're different. And I know this may be weird for you in our culture today, but did you know that some groups of people believe that they are inherently better than other groups of people? Just because of the way they look or where they're from, their ethnicity, what color their skin is, what their education level is, how much money they have or don't have, which side of the tracks they live on. We have divisions of all different kinds, but this was a long-held, deep-seated division that was there. And so it's just interesting that this account is recorded for us in the Scriptures, and it just sets up what Jesus came to do, because he is the Savior of all who believe. Because he paid the price for all, there's no division in Christ. And so, just as a real quick note, verse 1 says, the Pharisees heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Jesus was in the business of making disciples. You see that? He made disciples and baptized those who were following him. And there was this transition. Remember, John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. And now that was coming to pass. Jesus' ministry had now surpassed John the Baptist's ministry, which was glorious to John the Baptist. That's why he came. That's what he wanted to happen. And so that's what's going on. He left Judea and departed into Galilee. And so a lot of historians debate this. There was a straight path that went right through Samaria. You could go around on the north. You'd go around on the south. A lot of people believe that most Jews would go around because they didn't even want to get their feet dirty from being in Samaria. Other historians say it wasn't that big a deal. Whatever the case is, I think that it means something in verse 4 when the Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. Jesus had a purpose. He had something that he had to go there for to accomplish. And of course, we know because we've read it. He went there to meet with this woman at that particular place at that particular time. Some people would call that a divine appointment. Now, Jesus set his divine appointments, and he knew about them in advance. Jesus also sets your divine appointments. You just don't know about it in advance. But there are going to be opportunities and times that are going to come. And if you're paying attention, some of you aren't right now, but if you were paying attention in your day-to-day life, there are going to be divine appointments. You're going to find yourself in a conversation with somebody unexpectedly. And in the middle of that conversation, you go, wow, God put me in this place at this time to talk to this person. Amen. Have any of you ever experienced that? Let me ask you this, if you're just real honest, how many of you have realized it after the fact? Like, I've walked away from this conversation and it just dawned on me, or maybe in the middle of the night and you wake up and you go, man, God gave me that opportunity. And maybe God set the ball on the tee and you swung and you hit it out of the park. Or maybe you never even took a cut at it. But I'm telling you that those opportunities exist all the time, and we need to realize that it's important for us to recognize those opportunities, not only that, but to seek opportunities. Jesus went out of his way to talk to this woman, and we ought to go out of our way to talk to people. Amen. Now, let's just be honest real quick tonight. Can you guys be honest for a few seconds? How many of you can honestly say that you've avoided having conversations with people? See your hands? I'm just curious. Walmart? Have you ever been at Walmart and you see somebody, but you don't go out of your way to talk to them? You actually go out of your way to not talk to them? Anybody ever done that? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, I've seen you guys duck around the corner like... Hey, was that Mike? Yeah. Can't hide in that truck, Mike. Listen, we shouldn't be avoiding opportunities to talk to people. We should be looking for opportunities to talk to people. We should be seeking opportunities to witness. One of the greatest tools that we have, I think, that makes this easier is gospel tracts. I think if you'll carry gospel tracts with you, it will create opportunities. You can hand them out when you go through the drive-thru. You can hand them out when you're at Walmart. You can hand them out at the dollar store. You can hand them out all over the place. And I like to hand them out around here and hand them to somebody and say, hey, have you gotten one of these yet? And I'm super disappointed if I'm in Muldrow, Oklahoma, and I give them a gospel tract from Calvary, and they say to me they've never seen one before. Most of the time when I say, hey, have you gotten one of these, they'll go to their cash register and say, I've got three of them laying right here. That's good. It's called saturation. And it doesn't always create an opportunity to have a conversation, but sometimes it does. Sometimes you give somebody a gospel tract and they'll say, what is it? And you get to say, it's a gospel tract. And they'll look at you very strangely because they've never heard the term gospel tract before. And so you can have a conversation. We need to be looking for opportunities. Jesus went out of his way to go there. He came to the city of Samaria called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jacob's well was there. They say, historians tell us, that that place, Jacob's Well, is still well identified today, that throughout history it's been known as and identified as. The Greek words that are used here are two different words. One of them means a flowing spring, and the other one means a dug well. And so the idea is that they dug a well and it's a flowing spring. And they say that even today that there's flowing, it's still a live spring even today, Jacob's Well. That's pretty amazing. And so Jesus comes there, and by the way, he was wearied with his journey, and he sits down on the well. Just a reminder, Jesus is fully man. He's fully man. He was tired, and he sits down to rest. And then this woman comes to draw water, probably around noon, the sixth hour of the day. John, best we can understand, reckoned by Roman time, so puts it in the middle of the day. There wouldn't have been a lot of other people around, and so there he is. Sitting on the well, this woman comes, nobody else is around, and he asks her for a drink. So we seek opportunities to witness, and then we talk to people. I know a lot of you aren't comfortable talking to people, but we have a command from God to talk to people about Jesus. I've heard a lot of people tell me that they can't be a witness because they're not really gifted to. They can't be a witness for Jesus because they get nervous talking to people. And I've heard a lot of different excuses. Obedience and evangelism has nothing to do with your personality traits. Obedience and evangelism has to do with obedience to Jesus. And by the way, if you're doing it because it comes natural to you, that's not really effective anyway. We do it in the power of the Spirit. Listen, if you're scared to death to talk to people about Jesus, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Your fear should drive you to your knees to pray and ask God to give you courage, to ask him to give you strength. I know that you guys don't find it easy to believe, but I'm telling you the truth. I still get nervous talking to people all the time. We go on Sunday afternoons, we go door to door. I get nervous walking up to the door, knocking on the door. I still get nervous. I get nervous when I'm talking to strangers just in my day-to-day life. I get nervous talking to anybody. But I don't have a choice, and neither do you. We need to be obedient. And so we're seeking opportunities, and we talk to people. We talk to people. And she says, why are you talking to me? Why are you asking me? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Verse 10 says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. So Jesus is seeking opportunities. The second thing I want you to notice is that he switches the conversation to the things of God. He starts talking to her about water, give me to drink. Then he switches it from physical water to living water. He speaks to her about the things of eternal life, and that's what we have to learn to do. By the way, that's what makes gospel tracts great tools, because if you give somebody a gospel tract that has the church information on the back and the gospel in the inside, you've already switched things to the things of God. You've already switched the conversation to the things of the Spirit. Now, Jesus is going to talk about spiritual things, and she's going to be confused. We saw the same thing with Nicodemus, right? He says, you got to be born again. He said, how can a man who's fully grown be born again? Can he get in his mama's belly and be born again the second time? It didn't make sense. Jesus was giving a spiritual truth, but he was confusing with the physical world. The same thing's going on here. Jesus brings up living water, and she's still thinking about physical water. Listen, when you start talking to people about the things of God, don't be surprised when they're confused. The things of the Word of God, they're spiritually discerned. And there's going to be some confusion. And that's why we've got to be patient. We've got to be clear in our gospel message. And so Jesus begins to speak to her about living water. He switches to the things of God. Now, we're going to take not just tonight, but we're going to take at least a couple of times, a couple of lessons to walk through this passage of Scripture. So we're going to stop right there. But I just want to ask you to go back and read this account. I want to encourage you to study it out. There's a lot of depth here. There's a lot of great details. But just on the surface tonight, we need to be seeking opportunities to speak to people. And when we talk to people, we have got to be looking to switch the conversation to the things of God. For me personally, it's one of the hardest things to do. I don't have trouble talking to people most of the time. If I'm nervous about it, but to switch to the things of God and actually ask questions, actually talk about the things that actually matter is sometimes difficult. But friends, we're talking about the souls of people who will spend eternity somewhere. And the gospel is the only hope for them. He is the living water. I'm going to ask you to stand with me tonight.